Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to have you all here, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord. So let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you once again, Lord, that we can study your word. Thank you, Father, for the sweet blessing that the Sabbath gives to us, Father, an opportunity to focus on you, on your word, on the preached word, that word, Father, that you have for us that strengthens our souls, Lord. As we study the fourth commandment, Father, we ask that you would lead us and guide us, that you would bless us, lead us into eternity, we pray for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, here is that fourth commandment. What I would like to do, just like we normally do, we'll start off and go through the Ten Commandments. So we're in Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to be going verses 1 through 17. Who would like to read 1 through 9? James would like to read 1 through 9, and Jeannie wants to read 10 through 17. Okay. Go ahead. Good job. Thank you. So we've talked about the Sabbath. We have remembered what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. So that key word right up front, very positive command to remember, to keep in mind. And we're going to talk a little bit more about what that means for us. remember the Sabbath day, Sabbath meaning rest, and we're going to further define what that word means by use of the contrast that is actually in the commandment itself. So we'll talk about labor and not doing any work, and we're also going to talk about the origin that this commandment has in creation itself. So the creation ordinance. And then finally, note that last section in there that Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, because I'm going to come back to that. Okay. The Westminster Shorter Catechism has several, I think there's five of the paragraphs. We're going to go through each one of them just as to set the stage. So the fourth commandment requires the keeping holy to God such set times as he hath appointed in his word, expressly one whole day in seven to be a holy Sabbath to himself. I noted the word whole, that it is a whole day. It isn't part of a day. It isn't, and we're talking about just like with Genesis, when God created he made the evening and the morning. We're talking about a whole day. We're talking about 24 hours. Okay, the Sabbath is to be sanctified by a holy resting all that day, even from such worldly employments and recreations as are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship, except so much as is to be taken up in the works of necessity and mercy. So I'm going to divide out that last section. I don't think I'm going to be able to cover works of necessity and mercy this time, and we'll cover next time some of the controversial topics that come up with the Sabbath. But hey, here we are on the Lord's Day and being getting together for the public exercises of God's worship. And we'll be talking about the private exercises of God's worship in anticipation of the Sabbath in just a moment. The fourth commandment forbiddeth the omission or careless performance of the duties required in the profaning the day by idleness and doing that which is in itself sinful or by unnecessary thoughts, words, and works. I've highlighted that before about our worldly employments or recreations. The contrast then between what is lawful or allowed on 6 days then is something that is not allowed on that seventh day, on the Sabbath day. And then the reasons annexed are God's allowing us 6 days of the week for our own employments. Calvin will talk about 6 days, 6 days labor, and we have, God gives us 6 days. 6 days to earn a living, 6 days to do our worldly employments, and 6 days to do other things as well. But in the society, we have to make the cultural comment about when a society is just crazed about entertainment, that doesn't necessarily mean what we're talking about here. You know, we have a society to build as well. So it isn't like I'm going to go play my video games, I'm going to go to the movies. I guess the second Dune just came out. There's an editorial comment. I will retract that statement off of the audio here. But his challenging a special propriety in the seventh day. And so his own example, even, as I just pointed out, and blessing that Sabbath day. Okay, first off, which day of the week is it supposed to be? The confession will also talk about up until, from the creation of the world to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it was the seventh day, and now it is the first day to continue on until the second coming of Christ. So why is this? What warrant do we have to be able to say that this is legal, that this is lawful, that we actually do this correctly. So first off, the concept is, it is Christ's appointment. This is what Christ instituted, and we'll walk through that. And I'm blasting through my my notes here, but here we go. So Mark 2:28 says that Christ is Lord of the Sabbath. He is the one who, through whom the creation was made, and Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, is Lord of the Sabbath. And so by his definition, then, if he is the one who is Lord of the Sabbath, then naturally it would be, it would follow that if he institutes the Lord's Sabbath, the Lord's Day, then that would be the day that is correct to celebrate it on. In Revelation 1:10, it says that John was in the Spirit. When was he on in the Spirit? He's in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. So that that assigning of that particular day while he's in prison on the island of Patmos, and he says, this is the Lord's Day. So he's identifying that specific day. And so we have that scriptural warrant. Christ also was risen from the dead on the first day of the week. And so by rising from the dead, then we have life through him. He's conquered sin and death. And so then we also have newness of life in him. And by the virtue that he rose from the dead on that specific day, on the first day of the week, then we have warrant to say that it is the first day of the week that would be the Sabbath day. And so then that points to the fact that when we come together, we are automatically, we're taking a day of rest, but we are also automatically declaring the risen Lord on that specific day. This is the Lord's Day, and Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, so that our presence here today is not just get a chance to take a break from the week, you know, kick back and absorb, you know, no. This is a declaration by our lives, by our gathering here together in public worship, then we are making a statement that it is, this is the first, that first day of the week, and we're making that declaration that Jesus is risen from the dead. This was also the practice of the apostles, and we see that from a couple of different passages in Acts 20, verse 7, and in 1 Corinthians 16, that the apostles made this their practice. The apostles and the prophets, that's how we get our word, and that's the institution then of the first day of the week for the Sabbath. It was also the practice of the early church. So, and by the way, that has continued for 2,000 years, that now we celebrate that first day as our Sabbath, along with the rest of the recorded history. So we can say to the people, the Seventh-day Adventists and others who make a point that this is the first day of the week is not the day, you know, we can say that those arguments right there by Christ's appointment, the apostles did it, the early church did it, we do that in accordance with that history and because of what Scripture has said. So those are pretty powerful arguments. If you are going to, you know, do some people like to say, what do you do? What do you? I'll get into that next week or the next time we get together. But So far, any comments or questions? Yeah, you don't have a question, but go ahead. Oh, no, keep going. Keep going, man. You're saving my voice. Yes, that's a good point. I did not, by the way, I'm putting it up here, and in a sense you're being my straight man, but I wasn't making that connection in terms of my statements, but yes, Randy. We did that last time. Yeah, we talked about the heavenly rest and that there remains for the people of God a rest eternally, resting in God, praising Him throughout all of eternity. Yeah, we covered that. Okay. Great. Super. Thank you. Thomas Watson makes the contrast here between creation and redemption. So the commandment itself points specifically to the creation, ex nihilo, back to the Genesis account, Genesis 1 and 2, and that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Did God need to create the heavens and the earth in 6 days? No. Divine fiat, boom, it's all in existence, and we're up and running. There is no necessity for the 6 days other than we go back to the confession and we say, this is an example to us of working 6 days and then the Sabbath. But the commandment specifically brings into, before our brings up to our attention the fact of creation itself. Now, he says, Thomas Watson makes a very good point that redemption takes a whole lot longer. We might say that redemption takes a lifetime, or it takes until the second return of Christ for the individual and then for the church's redemption. What did that cost? In the creation, it was the word of his power, the spoken word by God himself, let there be light, and let there be, let there be, let there be, and that declaration, and it happened. So it was the spoken word of God that created the world and everything in it. But redemption happens through the blood of Jesus Christ, a very expensive very expensive. Watson says, in creation, God gave us ourselves. In redemption, he gives us himself. So this attitude is also reflected in Psalm 148, verse 5, that we have that, our life is in one sense, we trace that life back to Adam, and but then we have that spiritual life, that redemptive life in Christ. Colossians 3:3, your life is hidden with Christ in God. So that eternal life, that spiritual life that we have, is a result of Christ's blood being shed on the cross for us, for his people, and entering into union with Christ, and then we have that eternal life that Christ points to. There's also automatically then the contrast between the earthly paradise and a heavenly kingdom. So we're not going back to the garden, and we talked about that way, way, way back in Genesis. But the garden, a very beautiful portrayal. The Bible points back to that, but we're also pointing ahead to the heavenly kingdom come down. And so there's those contrasts automatically happen as a result of the contrast that the specific the commandment ends up giving us. Do you, Stephen, do you want to make any other comments there? I'm not setting you up I meant what I said. Normally I don't. Normally I'd razz you, but no. Okay. Any other comments so far? Okay. So, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Whenever my wife and I end up on Sunday night, we have a glass of wine. But this is the statement that we'll make to each other. And although Psalm 118 doesn't, you know, when you go into that specific passage, there might be some, you know, it doesn't necessarily point to the specific Sabbath, and yet Thomas Watson pulls this out. And I think that you can actually read that in context and say, you know, Psalm 118, one of the Passover Psalms, and you can say specifically that this is the Lord's day, the day that the Lord has made. This he's made all of them, but we also have that specialness of the Sabbath itself. Okay, can you grab Logan Isaiah 58:13-14? We're going to look at one of the Old Testament passages. We're going through Isaiah, but Isaiah specifically talks about the Sabbath and that honoring the Sabbath, calling the Sabbath a delight. But
if you turn away your whole from doing your pleasure and call the Sabbath a delight, a holy day of the Lord, and honor it, you shall honor it, doing your own ways, finding your own pleasure, or speaking your own words, then you shall go to yourself. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you the heritage of Jacob your father. Now for the Lord.
Okay. Thank you. In by Isaiah's recommendation, we honor the Lord. We set apart the Lord in our minds, in our thoughts, in our actions, and we turn away from our own actions. We don't do our own things. We don't do our own pleasure. We find delight in the Lord. Finding delight in the Lord, and this is going to be Thomas Watson and others. I don't think he was the first one that used this phrase, coined this phrase. The market day of the soul. What a great description of you go to the marketplace, and what do? You get a chance to examine the fruit and the vegetables and all of the produce and the things that are available in the market. and you get a chance to choose and to look at and to delight in that. So what he's getting at here is we have the opportunity to have that same delight in the Lord, to delight ourselves in the things of the Lord, to set apart that day and actually look at and think about, to contemplate these the things that the Lord has given to us. So what's the motivation behind, you know, looking into and making that Sabbath day special? The Lord usually reveals himself more to the soul on this day. This is Watson's comment. So when you're studying your word, because we can put aside the distractions, now we can focus just naturally. We're going to, this isn't some sort of, you know, sprinkle fairy dust. This isn't some sort of charismatic thing. This is, we've put aside the things of this world. And so we can, we're more readily going to be able to focus on the things of the Lord and get that special blessing from, oh, I hadn't seen that in the word before. I've read it, you know, a bunch of times, but he's going to reveal himself in his word in other ways to us. So this is interesting. Jesus did most of his miracles on the Sabbath. Again, we have that example of Christ that he is giving us that his work that he is doing, those miracles that prove that Jesus is the Christ, those miracles were mainly done on the Sabbath. And this is another tremendous statement out of this section. I mentioned this the last time, that there's just a lot of richness in this particular section from Watson. Watson says, all the persons in the Trinity have honored it. The God the Father blessed it. God the Son rose upon it. Those two we've mentioned. And God the Holy Spirit descended on it. So you have a Trinitarian view of the Sabbath and its specialness and so forth. So, okay. Sweetheart. Yeah, very good. Do any of you want to give, before I get to Logan, do any of you want to give something that you do special on the Lord today? Besides go to church and sit under the preached word and... Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Excellent. I'm going to come back to that point. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. 6 days. Okay? So Calvin makes the point that you've got 6 days to do the work that you need to do. God gives those to you. And you can feel blessed. You can feel encouraged to do the work that you have to do in those 6 days. So then obviously it means that we're going to labor and we're going to do work. Work's a four-letter word in the society. So, you know, working for the weekend, TGIF, and all of the other cultural touch points that there's even a move afoot that they've got certain calculations. If you make as much money as you can in the first part of your life and you get to, I don't know, I think it's 26 times your annual income as a savings, now you can, you know, not have to work for the rest of your life. You go, that's not exactly the point, you know, we'll talk about some of that the next time. So, this is, as Logan said, this is a creation ordinance. Work itself, work is a creation ordinance. The Sabbath is a creation ordinance. Marriage is a creation ordinance. This is something that is given to the people of God before the fall. This isn't something, when God said that all of this is a very good, then he said that work is good. And so then this is something that we have been given to do by God on this earth. Yes, we're going to, because of sin in the world, because of our own sin, we're going to end up producing thorns and thistles. And yet we're also going to produce and provide. God is going to allow us. God will bless the work of our hands. So religion gives no warrant for idleness. And he quotes Melanchthon and says that idleness is the devil's bath. Idleness and sloth and not working, God does not bless. And in fact, he curses that. And so then we need to have the right attitude towards our work that God gives us, towards the work that God has called us to do, that that attitude gives witness of our attitude, you know. So then people look at Christians and they go, well, I mean, all he wants to do is get out of here. All he wants to do is, you know, do the minimum amount required, and he's out of here. That doesn't exactly speak well. So, you know, we are, in one sense, on public display. We're God's ambassadors, and people see the attitude that we have towards work. In the parable of the talents, the last one that ends up burying, I knew you were a ruthless master, and so I buried it, you know, and I hid it away. And God says, you wicked servant. You should have at least put it in the bank where it's going to draw interest. So, but he calls him a wicked servant by burying it under the ground. So we are to work, and we're to produce, and we're to produce so that we can provide for our family, so that we can provide for the work of the church and so forth. So the encouragement here is to work. Does somebody want to grab Ecclesiastes 9:10? I think Stephen's going to grab it since he preached out of it. How about that? Okay, you can't produce when you get to the grave. So then let's do that. Let's work while we have the time here in this world. The commandment provides that contrast. Okay? The commandment itself, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. That's your rest day. So the commandment sets up these two that are automatically in, you know, juxtaposition, right next to each other. And so it automatically contrasts work and rest. And work is defined by what we see about what rest is. And rest is defined by what we see about what work is. So you have this negative. Work is this, rest is not that, as we start defining what the actual term means and how to apply that. So inactivity is not what is given to us for the Sabbath. We are to do the rest. You know, naps are okay. We love naps. But to do nothing during the whole day is not what doing the rest of God is. And that picture into Hebrews of the heavenly rest. What are we going to be doing in heaven? We're going to be sitting around twiddling our thumbs? No, we're going to be praising God day and night. And before the throne of God, there will be activity that is part of the work that we are doing, so to speak, in heaven, or that heavenly rest. So we can see, you know, that work rest. The secular rest is going to be suspended on the Sabbath day. We're not going to do that work. So then, you know, you got to kind of, I mean, it's tough work. You got to prepare yourself. And so Thomas Watson talks about the dressing our bodies. So we get up, we dress ourselves, we worry about, you know, how we look, we worry about what the style of dress is. Is this going to end up being functional? Is it going to end up, you know, whatever? But in a similar fashion, what we need to do is be dressing our souls. So, you know, having a bad attitude and continuing to get dressed, you can just see that that's not what he is talking about, what God is talking about in the commandment, or what Watson is referring to as he starts talking about dressing our souls for hearing God's word. What can we do to prep ourselves specifically for the preached word? We can read the scriptures. Many of you read the scriptures that Stephen has or have read for today's sermon. You've gone through and read the sermon or the texts that he's going to be using for today's sermons. And so you can read God's word, and that gets you into that heavenly mindset. I like to focus on meditation or thinking about. I like that biblical definition of meditation, that this is thinking about and contemplating and rolling around in your mind. It isn't, you know, sitting around meditating on the significance of Om or something like that. No, we're going to be thinking about the works of creation, about God's holiness. We're going to be thinking about Christ's love in redeeming us and going steadfastly to the cross. We're going to be thinking about the glory of heaven. Watson, again, we can think about that Christ should die. That Christ should die for sinners. That Christ should die for sinners as a sinner. We can think about that Christ should die for sinners as a sinner and do it willingly. That thinking about what Christ has done for us in going to the cross for us. And we can also be in prayer for the service itself, for ourselves, for our friends. And that prayer, adoring God, thinking about who God is, His greatness, His glory, and putting that in our minds. Any thoughts? Kate. Our Lord will what?
Our work will no
work. Yes, certainly. Yeah, and so, right, back to the Sabbath, and... But I'm going back and just kind of defining, even in that kind of pre-eschaton type of period, that definition of rest is not doing nothing. You know, the rest that we have on the Sabbath is doing something. It is praying. It is, you know, meditating on God. It is reading His Word. But yes, the work that we have, it's not like we're strumming harps. You know, the common statement. Is that your point, or is I'm restating what you're stating? Right. There's not going to be inactivity, just a bunch of bodies laying around. You know, no, that's not. We're before the throne. We are praising God, and so you all will. And this isn't in the eschaton. It'll be easy to praise God, but in one sense, here sometimes, you know, when you're confronted about life's situations and you're having to work through that and then to love God at the same time, that actually is work. Or to say that this life event that I'm having to confront is actually from God and that God intends it for good. God is going to work good out of this evil situation. That's work. That's tough. That is like, you know, it's an exercise of the soul. So, I'm not scratching the itch. I'm sorry. Okay. Do you want to do a reattack? No. Yeah, I'm sorry. Logan. Okay, good. Other points, thoughts, comments? Okay. Then next time, Lord willing, we'll get into the exception clause, and then we'll talk about some of the, you know, what can we do? Hopefully I can keep this one contained, but rather than just, you know, sit on your hands. Okay, let's pray. Once again, O Lord, we thank you for giving us this command and giving us the Sabbath. The rest that is built into the creation of your universe, O Lord, the rest that you have demonstrated and that we mimic. Lord, may we do this to your glory. May we rest in you as we sit under the preached word. We pray, Father, that you would empower your word, that it would be what exactly we need as you have designed it, Father, that we would hear from you. And we pray, Father, for the right attitude towards that. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.